license.
Kildare Today with Tara Flanagan. With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, celebrating 20 years of fashion, food, film and fun. With style, with pleasure, with you.
Good morning and welcome back to Kildare Today. Just catching up on some of the texts. We got one in from a listener just saying, any news on the outside seating in Athy Square? It's a terrible shame if it's gone. So look, I wasn't aware that the seating had been removed. So we might follow up, or if any of our councillors in the Athy district or municipal district might let us know. Another one, we got some nice pictures in, and that was from James Walsh, Lauren's dad, talking to broadcaster John Dunn, KFM. The live broadcast at Castle Warden at the weekend. And we are always, well, we love obviously any sports person from the country, but from the county we love hearing how they're getting on. So that was great that she was able to catch up with John Dunn. Another message: Padder is the only politician who is working on behalf of the Indigenous people of Ireland. This migration pact is a disaster for Ireland. Our government are literally burning our hard-earned taxes, piling it high and burning it. Now, looking on to our next topic, we have a parent who undertook her own childcare survey as she struggled to find places for her children. And I suppose before I introduce our guest, in September last year, KFM News reported nearly half of parents in Kilcullen are considering leaving the workforce because of a shortage in childcare places. And that's according to Kildare South Labour TD Mark Wall, who published findings from a survey conducted with a local group, Kilcullen Needs Childcare. The survey showed that 47% of parents had already reduced their working hours, while one in five had given up their careers altogether due to lack of childcare. Deputy Wall says most affected were women, many working in key sectors such as healthcare, education, finance and construction, and more than 150 children in Kilcullen currently need early years or after school places, with many families forced to travel much further afield. My next guest, having lived abroad, returned to Kildare with her children, and she embarked on what would be described as a journey to try and secure childcare. She quickly discovered that securing childcare was like looking for gold dust. Places were scarce, waiting lists were long, and what she expected to be a straightforward task became a major challenge. She also realised she wasn't the only one in this predicament, and they decided to try and get a greater sense of the problem in the Naas area. Good morning, Caitlin Craig, and thank you so much for joining us.
No problem, Tara. Thank you so much for having me on and talking about such an important topic.
And it is, because, like, as I've alluded to there, it's the difference of whether you can work or not. So could you tell us a little bit about your situation? I know I kind of mentioned it. Yeah.
Yeah, so we've recently moved home from Abu Dhabi. I have three children, and like you said, I'm obviously a woman, a mother working in healthcare. I work in telehospital as an occupational therapist. That job is on the critical skills list, and we have a very unresourced department as is. And childcare is obviously a massive barrier for me to return to work.
And so when did you return from Abu Dhabi?
We came back in April.
Okay.
Yeah, so we actually put our two children onto the list before we left, and we have been gone 3 years, and we still had significant difficulties trying to secure childcare for them. Additionally to that, we have a school-age child, and we could not get her a school place at all. Luckily, we did in the end, but it was through a lot of trial and tribulation, and that was something we didn't foresee, actually securing a school place.
That could have been an issue. And then, so am I right, Naas is where you're living?
Yeah, so we live in Naas. And the survey was kind of born out of the difficulties that I myself was having. And I just obviously felt that there has to be more parents in our situation. So I teamed up with a neighbour of mine who, again, is having severe difficulties trying to find an after-school place for her child. So we did the survey. Now, we obviously don't have the lines and means to have it as far reaching, but we did get 89 participants on the survey.
And how did you, so you compiled it between the two of you, and we'll go through that now in a sec, but how did you share that then? Was it through social media?
It was through solely social media, yeah. So we put it up on some of the Naas Facebook pages and some WhatsApp groups, and that was it. So, I mean, it wasn't as far-reaching as potentially we could have if we had the resources and means ourselves to push that forward. But 89 is still a very big number. 72% of the respondents do not have childcare secured for the coming year. So that's 7 out of 10 families. And the impact, again, that you highlighted is financial strain, unable to return to the workforce, reduction in hours, and the stress that that puts on families is just huge. It's something that we and my husband, we're nearly talking about it every day, like how are we going to manage, or when our next child starts school, what are we going to do? So it's really, really difficult.
And going through, so what were some of the questions you had asked on the survey?
So are you able to return to work at a planned time? Do you have commuting difficulties, financial strain? So these are all of the impacts that it is having on families. It is disproportionately affecting women. So unfortunately, it is mainly the mother that is taking reduction in hours, unpaid leave, or leaving the workforce altogether. So that's having a wider community and economic impact, really, on society as a whole.
Yeah.
In my own example, I am an OT. It is a very sought-after job that will have an impact
on the
health service, you know. So.
And what is the situation for you now, Caitlin, and for the children?
Luckily, we have been able to secure after school for our school age child, but they are unable to take her in the morning, so that's going to be a big difficulty. I'm due to return to work in October, so we don't know how we're going to get her to school when that happens. We've applied for the school bus, but because we live 200 metres too close to the school, even though it's not walkable distance, she's not eligible for the school bus. So it just seems to be barrier after barrier.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's like, I know, and this isn't the solution, and not everybody. And I know we'd interviewed a mother from Kilcullen, and she wasn't originally from Kilcullen, but she'd made it her home and she did not want to move. But they were considering relocating to Kilkenny, where she's from originally, so that she'd have a bit of support, that if it was a grandparent that could do that, those kind of drops, you know. That's not a solution.
That's not sustainable either, because again, that is having an economic and a societal impact, because, you know, is there suitable housing for that family? Is there suitable employment? And that did come out of the survey, that families are relying on unsustainable arrangements. So many are dependent on grandparents, childminders or au pairs, and these aren't always the most reliable. It creates a lot of uncertainty. You might have a grandparent that's able to do it for a number of weeks, number of months, but then something could happen.
No, and the other thing is
withdrawn.
That's not fair as well. The grandparents...
No, and it's unless, silent support.
Unless there's an arrangement that you've made with a grandparent, but they want to enjoy their grandchildren, you know, as opposed
absolutely.
To they've done their parenting.
And it shouldn't be seen as a solution, because it's not a solution. It's not a viable solution. Now, that's not a solution that we have. I'm originally from Cork. My husband is from Kildare. We're quite similar in that we moved down here. We've made Naas our home, and we've no plans to leave. We're very, very happy in Naas. But the level of this is a childcare crisis. I mean, if you have 7 out of 10 families who have participated in the survey and they do not have suitable childcare, and that's impacting them financially, it's impacting on their employment, their level of stress as a family. I mean, it really is. It is a crisis at this point.
It is a crisis. And the thing is, it's not fair on the children either. No one likes uncertainty where they don't know where they're going. And I don't know if you're aware that there's been a bit with, there was a creche in Meath that had to close. I think it was like 200 times they had to close a room or different rooms. But one parent had 3 children. So she ended up like 6 weeks trying to take off work. And that's not sustainable for an employer. But it was because of staff retention, trying to get, you know, so there's, and as you mentioned, you're in a role of a critical job, so you are
absolutely
needed.
Yeah,
you know,
and it is like if you know, and any healthcare worker will tell you, if you are unable to go to work on an unplanned day, you are concerned about your team. You're very worried about your team. Like, I would be a senior OT, I would have basic grades under me, and they do need support. Like, early career healthcare professionals absolutely need support to ensure that they get the experience that they need, that if they have any difficult cases, that that's appropriately seen to, and all that is impacted, and that's all very silently impacted. And I think the survey highlights that really, really well, that it isn't an isolated family problem. It is now becoming a social and economic problem.
Now, Caitlin, you have been kind of lobbying some of your councillors and TDs with any luck?
I think I've been a bit of a thorn in some of their sides. So I would have started this before we came back. When I realised that it was going to be very, very difficult to get particularly the after-school place. So that would have been January. I've been emailing, trying to see, can we increase it? Is there any plans? What tangible actions and can they come back with? There has been some engagement, but to say tangible action has been taken would be incorrect. We're no further along. Mm. There's really little. I've been told that they've been bringing it to the Dáil and they've been highlighting that way, but there's nothing further that's a tangible action on how to relieve this crisis. We can look at other European countries. I've looked at France and Denmark. I have a brother in Sweden. Mm. And in Sweden, the local council have to guarantee a place when that child turns one. France and Denmark view after school care as a public service because they recognise that families do have to work. And in this day and age, we do have to have two parents within the workforce. You know, there's a cost of living crisis as well. It would be very, very difficult for one family to solely be reliant on one income. So European countries are looking at this as a problem and they're solving it. And really, I think in Ireland, we need to be looking at our European counterparts to see how have they solved this and how can we support Irish families to the same extent as European families.
And I know, we can always put in the request to speak with the Minister for Children, Minister Foley, but I know there is this rollout of this public childcare system, but it's just that doesn't, there's pros and cons with that too, but that doesn't solve the problem for you right now.
No, and it's an immediate problem at the moment.